and see the idea of heaven, the home of the soul. We started out this study back in the month of July, and we got to the Bible verses that you relate to that. I'd like to ask you this morning to turn to Matthew in reference to this matter in chapter 5. Scarcely had Jesus begun the Sermon on the Mount, but what that he talked about this heaven. And he talked about circumstances that are faced in life, particularly Matthew 5 at verse 11. But we'll talk in regard to this particular matter about it because Jesus himself spoke in regard to this matter. When we see this, he said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and shall persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." The idea of facing circumstances and terrible circumstances in life are assured by Jesus to occur. And as he says these things will occur, they will be persecutions that you face in life. And as you face those persecutions in life, he said you'll find opportunity to either deny God or to thank God for the privilege that you have, because there are certain blessings that are associated with that that are unassociated with other things that you face in life. Look what he says there. "There is a reward laid up for you in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets who were before you." Our Lord himself in heaven itself is one that cares about what goes on earth. And in reference to that matter, the psalmist would declare, "He has his ears open to their prayers and his eyes are upon the righteous as he looks upon the earth from heaven." And he is paying attention to what takes place in our daily walk of life. In Romans chapter 1, wonderful verses are set forth in verse 16 and 17, in which Paul writes there regarding his love of the gospel and his not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But in verse 18, you'll see the change that it takes place, and yet he tells us where God is when this change takes place for those that are doing wickedly. He says there in Romans 1:16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." He says, "For therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And notice what he says there in verse 18. He says, "But the wrath of God is sent from heaven upon those who do wickedly." The idea of the gospel being brought for salvation causes Paul to say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm so glad to know it. I'm so glad to hear it. I'm so glad to tell it to others, because there's a blessing that comes from heaven itself regarding this gospel." But then he changes that idea of role, as he writes in verse 18, and says, "The wrath of God is resisting those who do evil, and it is cast out from heaven upon those who do evil." God's presence in our lives is a presence that he makes available because of the strength that he has from heaven's fair city. Back in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy in chapter 10 and verse 14, it is said regarding God, he's in the heaven of heavens. There is the heaven of heavens involved. When we look at the heavenly world in which we live, we find Paul referring to that in 2 Corinthians 12:2 as being delivered up into the third heaven, he says. "And I saw things there of which I was not permitted to write in regard to the beauties, the wonderfulness of that place." What is the first heaven? First heaven is look up at the sky, the birds fly, and so forth and so on. Then there's the firmament above that. That's the second heaven. As we look to the heavens and we see the sun and the moon and the stars. But then there's the residence of God himself, the residence from which Jesus would say in John's gospel, "I came down from heaven. I came down from my Father in heaven." and declare this message to you. This is a message that the Lord wants us to follow as we live this earthly life and be in readiness for that place of heaven itself in our future. Heaven is the home of the soul. Our Lord Jesus, before He left this earth, talked about that in such a vivid way in John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled, He says. You believe in God, believe also in Me. My Father's real, I'm real, I came down from Him. And He says, believe also in Me. For in My Father's house, refers to heaven as a place of dwelling, like a house. He says, in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, and the question really is there in the form, would I have told you that it is so? Would I really have told you about this place that we're going to in heaven if it had not been so? And our King James comes along with that particular idea. It tells about how that He has reserved for us those places of heaven itself, and regarding that mansion that is preserved for us up there. The idea of a dwelling place for God and a dwelling place for us is thereby described in John 14. We think about God and His way and His will in our lives. We talk about this as we go along to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in reference to this. He says, if the earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved. We're talking about our earthly body. Here we are. We groan in this body because of the various changes of life that take place within our physical bodies. But if the earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The idea of us going to that place where home of the soul is really there is affirmed because of Hebrews 12 and verse 9. It tells us that we all have fathers of the flesh and we reverence them. Our mothers and fathers are of our flesh. They gave us our bodies to wear. But there is one eternal part of us that did not come from mothers and fathers. When we were particularly consoled in our ways, we look back to the Heavenly Father because He says much more, Hebrews 12 at verse 9, we all have fathers of the flesh and we reverence them. Much more should we reverence God, who's the Father of our spirit, that we may live. Our spirit is noted by the wise man Solomon in Ecclesiastes 12, to be that which is going back to the Heavenly Father, and how that our body will return to the dust from which it was made, but our spirit will return unto God who gave it. God gave us that, and the Hebrew writer tells us that He did give us that, and in fact we reverence Him because we internally, that internal man, that one individual that is going on and on, will be returned to Him at the time of our passing. No one that is laid out here in our cemetery, out here to back, is actually there. Their spirit went on to be with the Lord as their physical body died and now is in a process of decay. In the grave, back to the dust from which it was made in the beginning. But that spirit went on to be with God who gave it. As a result, that spirit, we raise this question, how can we live? And so Paul continues the thought in 2 Corinthians 5 when he gets down to verse 10 and says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We raise the question, what will appear before the judgment seat of Christ? Our physical body? No, not our physical body. Our physical body is buried away and it goes back to dust. But spiritually speaking, our spiritual man is with Him. And it is noted there for you and me, if the earth, the house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In this we do groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our building, which is from God. Our real home is really there. And then when he goes on to say there in 2 Corinthians 5 at verse 10, for if the earthly, if this way in which we have judgment time is set forth before God, we are set forth to be judged by him. And as a result of that, our spiritual person is going to be judged by him. Our inner man, what did our inner person do? Did our inner person love wickedness and love evil ways and become a person who was met upon with the wrath of God, as you read there in Romans 1:18 from heaven? Even while we lived here on the earth, we had troubles and difficulties because we were liars and we were cheating and we were people who were filled with evil in our lives, with evil words and evil mannerisms. But who is accountable for that? Our physical man? Well, our physical man may be. Somebody may pull out a gun and shoot us because we talk too much, because Proverbs 18:21 tells us the fear of life and death is in the tongue. And so we have the ability to make people mad enough to kill us, or we have people to be happy that we're around them. And wonderful ways is what we're talking about, good ways of life for us. We're thankful that that occurs when we can speak good things and do good things. And when our spiritual man is going on to be with God and has loved the Lord and love righteous things, and love righteous words, and love righteous mannerisms, and great, great plans to be at home, and realize that this earthly house is never our real home, that we wanted to be with him. We wanted to be with our Creator. We wanted to be with the one who, when our mothers and fathers gave us birth, physically, we reverence them. We appreciate them. We show love, and they show love to us. But much more God is to be reverenced because he committed to us our spirit within us. There is an eternal part of every one of us. Little children, as they're born, they have that eternal part with them. But in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus said they're not yet accountable for their sins. Thus they are not people who are accountable to be rejected of God. And he notes regarding little children, except to his disciples, except ye become converted and become like little children, ye cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So here we are in this earth, and the kind of people that we grow up to be as little children are innocent before God. And wonderful blessings of eternity are there furnished to those who pass from this earthly life before those years of accountability. I'm asked many times through the years, when should I obey the gospel? When I should be a person to obey the gospel? Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9, to those of you who have trouble, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven. Notice that he is going to be revealed someday from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those people of Romans 1:18 were people, as you go on in the context there, read on down a little further, you read in Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is poured out upon those who are part of doing evil and wrongdoing. And he speaks regarding those who do not want to retain God in their minds. Those are the people described there. They do not wish to retain God in their minds. If they retain God, there would be a different way of thinking, a different way of planning their times and day, a different way of talking to others, a different way of acting toward others, a different way of loving a wife or a husband, a different way of caring about us as we live on this earth and serving those who are in times of need, like God would have us to serve. But as we live this earth, he speaks regarding those who are in wickedness. And he says that we will be people who go before the judgment bar of God to receive the things done while we were in the body, according to that we have done, and whether it be good or evil. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. when we were in the body, what was in the body? That spiritual person was in the body. That spirit that God gave to our bodies. As we breathe and as we eat and as we gain strength and as we hit the baseball or catch the baseball or football in these days and time, kick the ball or catch the ball, we find ourselves in strength, physical strength. And there's some enormous. I've shaken hands with some of the young men here earlier days that were just hands to shake. And I've shaken hands with the same young men here lately in these days who've been through exercise and lifting weights and all that sort of thing. And what do the muscles of their bodies do for them? Oh, my. They feel like shaking a brick when you shake their hand because it's so strong and so ungiving. It's so powerful. Can you imagine just what kind of tackles are done on a football field? That no wonder they should have good equipment on because they would want to be that way. But you have that kind of strength, physical strength. But that physical strength is said in the hour of one's death to never be able to hold us back. The spiritual person inside is that spiritual person accountable for how we talk, how we serve, how we act. That's why in Simon's condition of Acts chapter 8 and verse 20, when he wanted to buy the power of the apostleship and he wasn't with money and he didn't have anything to do with it, Peter says to him, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God that the thought and intent of your heart may be forgiven you." The thought and intent of his heart, he was accountable for. And he was going to be rejected. "Thou art in the gall of bitterness, I perceive," Simon Peter went on to say. "Thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity." You're bound. You are handicapped. You are held up by these things. And Simon, different than a lot of people in our day and time, Simon believed it. And he said to Simon Peter, "Pray you to the Lord for me, that none of these things you've spoken may come upon me." He didn't want the first thing to go on with him to meet the Lord that he now was living by, offering money to buy this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive this Holy Ghost. He didn't want that because he realized a great truth that we all need to realize if we haven't before today. We are eternal beings. Spiritually, we are before God someday. And our spirit will be returned to Him to be judged. No wonder Paul would write there in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 10 and then verse 11. "We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body according to what we've done." We were in that body when they did these things, said these things, misbehaved this way. We didn't, like Simon, say, "Pray to the Lord for me that none of these things will come upon me." And then he says in verse 11 of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Paul, what do you say? "I'm saying that the judgment's coming, and I'm saying that the wicked will be punished someday. And I'm saying, knowing the terror of the Lord against the wicked." He had already written in Romans 1:18, "The wrath of God is poured out upon the wicked from heaven." And he's saying here, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." That's the way that the life of God tells us. When Jesus had finished his speaking there in Matthew 5 about the Sermon on the Mount in the midst of it, he went on to say the prayer, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come." It has come by now, because Colossians 1:13 tells us that he translated us out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. But at that time when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He's telling us about a will of God that he was going to present. A will that talked about how to talk, how to act, how to behave, how to think about this earthly life, and how to think about the home of the soul. And I close this lesson today with the passage I referred to earlier in John chapter 14, when he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in my Father God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." It is our actual home of the soul, that dwelling place with God. If in fact when we meet God at the judgment, we find our lives being judged on the basis of what we've done, and what we've said, and how we've prayed as servants of God. If you're not today obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, remember on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, remember Saul of Tarsus in Acts 22:16 was taught to arise, go be baptized, and wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You can begin that new life today. Described by Paul in Romans 1 as a new life begun as we were raised to walk in that new life. We're to walk in that new life. Be that kind of person who looks to heaven itself and looks to the guide of heaven. You can do that today. If you've done that in days gone by and not lived up to that way, then it is the case of Simon being a great example to tell us that I don't want any of these things to come upon me, the wrath of God. I don't want to be rejected of God at that judgment day. I want to be of heaven itself. That home described in Revelation 21, beginning at verse 4, where there is no death, no sorrow, no night, no pain, no suffering. All these things have passed away. Heaven, the home of the soul. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation, come today. Thank you very much for being here today. I look forward to seeing you tonight at 6. God bless you all.
Glory.